This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I often wonder when, during one of the services of the Word on a Sunday morning in a Christian congregation, Christians are singing this hymn. It's called the Te Deum. It's shorthand. It really is great shorthand for this entire hymn. It's to God. And it is all about giving praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wonder if Christians realize what is coming out of their mouths. That they are singing a song that the church has been singing for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And singing in these words, we praise you, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, and all the powers therein, to you cherubim and seraphim continually do cry. And then it goes on and on and on, and suddenly we're singing of Christ and his saving work. This hymn, the Te Deum, has come down to us from the mouths of Christians for centuries, and the church is still singing it. It has become, in many ways, the chief hymn of praise for the Christian church. And the 16th century reformer Martin Luther said, it's not just a hymn, it's a creed. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, September the 20th. Our call-in number for the next hour as we study this great Te Deum hymn, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He joins us here in the studio. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back.
Thank you. Joy to be with you today.
It's quite obvious, and it will be by the time we get done studying this thing, that it is a tremendous and ancient hymn of the church. Luther wanted to include it as a fourth creed, if you will, in addition to the Apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian. He regarded it as a creed. Why?
Well, actually, he left out the Nicene Creed when he did that. He wrote a little book called On the Symbols of the Church, and he listed the Apostles, and then the Athanasian, and then he concluded with the Te Deum Laudamus. And people look at that and say, whoa, you left out the chief creed of the church, the Nicene, the one that everybody uses. But for Luther, this hymn was so significant as a confession of praise. See, we always think the word confession, we get confession of sins. We get that we can even confess our faith. But we forget that a primary meaning of the word confession, especially from the Greek language, is the idea of giving praise to God. And so this hymn gives praise to the Blessed Trinity. And as it does, you see it literally runs down the structure and shape of the creed itself. It's all there as the hymn is unpacked, but it's not so much addressed in the form of, you know, I believe this, I believe that. It's addressed to God. We praise you for this. We praise you for this. We pray you did this. You did this. You did this. And that makes it a unique creed, if you will. But Luther was certainly very insightful to put it among the creeds.
The word, or the shorthand for its title, it's, you said Te Deum Laudamus, mm-hmm. which is the way it, the longer title. What does it mean?
Te Deum Laudamus. We praise you, O God. Te Dominum confitemur, we acknowledge you, we confess you to be the Lord.
You, so, O God, is what we're saying.
Yeah,
here.
You, O God, you are acknowledged, we acknowledge you as the Lord. And can I just share one personal mm-hmm. thing on this? Every time we sing this particular setting of it, I have to fight back the tears because it was the final song we used at my daughter's wedding. And I wish you could have heard the church that day. As I mean, they raised the rafters on this piece. Dr. Hurl from Seward, who's a guest on your show sometimes, I think, he was the organist that day. And he was kind of skeptical whether or not the people would actually be able to sing it. He never really sung it in a congregational setting before. And I was happy to say we blew him away by how loud the singing of this hymn was. And with that, we wanted to teach it to our kids at Trinity St. Paul Lutheran School. And we had our teachers tell us, you can't possibly teach that to the kids. That's too hard to learn. It's one of the kids' favorite. They belt it out like there's no tomorrow. So it's a great hymn. Even though it's kind of complex, don't think it's too hard for a congregation to learn and love.
It has become the all-purpose song of thanksgiving and of praise. It is often in the life of the church for centuries been used as the kind of ultimate way to give thanks to God. Why is this?
Well, because the church can't think of a better way to say thank you than by to stand in the presence of God and recite to him the great things that he has done for us and give him praise for them. The Te Deum encompasses all of that, brings us from the whole scope of salvation is in the piece. The angels are there, all of our Lord's incarnation, his glorification, and his coming again to bring us rescue, to bring us into the Father's house. It's all there, and the church just stands before God and thanks him by reciting to him the great things he has done for us. You're right, it's used at big occasions. Historically, for example, if there was an election of a bishop of Rome, they would sing the Te Deum when they announced who the next pope was going to be. Or if a king is being crowned, there was a solemn singing of the Te Deum. It was not just choir singing this. The people of God knew and sang this hymn too. Did not just belong to the choir. It was sort of a popular piece by all the people of God to sing.
Then briefly, before you hear this first stanza, if you will, it's hard to break it into stanzas, but it does go nicely in its form, and that it's a Trinitarian form. Talk about the fact that this is a Christ hymn, but it is primarily addressed to the Father and, of course, to the whole Trinity.
It starts out to the Father, as all the prayer of the church starts out addressed to God the Father. But you can't be talking about a Father without having a Son. And then, you know, you don't have the Son without the Holy Spirit showing you all about the Son. So before you're done, you're going to have the whole Trinity running in the hymn. It's just the very nature of the church's praise. That praise is Trinitarian in foundation. You think about the divine service and how over and over again the Trinity keeps on showing up. It's Father, Son, and Holy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The church, whenever she praises, has this Trinitarian shape to her praise because she's standing before the three divine persons to sing the praises of each. But begins with the Father as fountainhead of the deity, but then moves not too much longer directly into the praise of the Son, which is always the heart, the big chunk of the church's praise. She has many things to give thanks for, but ultimately it comes down to thanksgiving for Christ, for what he came and did for us and what he will come again to do for us.
The first stanza of this Te Deum hymn titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. O holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth.
See you.
Okay, the actual, you mentioned the tune because this is one that may not be familiar to all, but anyone familiar with early 20th century classical music will will recognize this tune. It is, you say, it's a pagan tune that we've taken back.
Yeah, it is. Gustav Holst wrote this incredible symphony on all of the planets. And when he came to the king of the planets, to Jupiter, this tune is the tune, this theme is what he introduces Jupiter with. And so I think it's just absolutely cool that somebody thought, you know, we could take this tune to the king of the planets and offer it to the real king of all creation, to the Blessed Trinity himself. And that's exactly what they did. Stephen Starkey, Pastor Starkey, author of so many wonderful, wonderful hymns in our new hymnal, he is the author of this particular paraphrase. And it is a paraphrase. I mean, the original Te Deum is not rhymed. It's a prose piece. And I think most people know the tune in Lutheranism. Most people know the tune that we're accustomed to from the old Lutheran hymnal. It was an Anglican chant tune, very beautiful. Everybody that heard it, it's got a key change right in the middle that just always sends shivers down your spine. And people really liked it. They loved that piece. But then the first time they hear the Starkey Te Deum, this setting, they're like, oh. Oh my, this is what a Te Deum needs to sound like. And Starkey's rhymed paraphrase actually, I think, harkens back to Dr. Luther himself, who rhymed a paraphrase of the Te Deum and offered that in the vernacular, in German, for people to sing too. It was nowhere near as fun as Pastor Starkey's piece, though.
It's one of those things where when you hear it, you say, where have you been all my life? When we come back, we're going to talk about the scriptural roots in this first stanza, in particular, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page, or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Studying the great Te Deum hymn, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God, on this Monday afternoon, September the 20th. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Will, before we move on to other stanzas, this first stanza really does deserve a bit of a unpacking scripturally. There's so much there, but I'd like to direct your attention to the great, from Isaiah chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken, the great hymn of praise of the Old Testament that Isaiah gets to witness in a vision as he stands in the presence of God the King.
Yeah, he gets to hear the song of the seraphim, which in Isaiah 6, you know, those are the fire angels. I don't, you know, there's how
burning
do you describe
ones.
Burning ones? Yeah. The Lord has a whole bunch of, like, he has a whole bunch of variety of animals here in this world. He has zebras and giraffes and all sorts of funny little critters, and he seems to delight in that abundance. So he seems to do in the angelic world too. And we're not given a bunch of clues from scripture about how do you keep your cherubim straight from your seraphim. What we do know is that together they unite in this hymn of praise. The cherubim get thrown in there, especially, I think, with they're the ones that are usually thought of as the four beasties in Revelation 4 and 5, where this same song, almost, holy, holy, holy is the one who was, who is, and who is to come, gets sung again. Isaiah had that beautiful vision that day in the temple, and it was Trinitarian from start to finish. You know, there are three who are holy, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, and the holiness of God, of course, terrified him, but God hadn't come to terrify him. He'd come to him in his holiness to impart life to him, and so the burning coal touching his lips, setting him free with forgiveness. And that picture never is far from the church's mind when she gathers for worship. She always knows she gathers with the angel. So we sing that classic hymn of Isaiah, which sees the end of all things. It sees your majesty and glory fill the heaven and the earth. Well, right now we don't see that except by faith, but the angels, remember our good friend Dr. Hummel used to talk about the vision of the cherubim, the vision of the seraphim. They're up higher than we are, if you will. They can see toward the end, and so they see how it all comes out at the end, and they see heaven and earth filled with the glory of God, and so we join them in that song, seeing that future with them.
Now, it goes from all things created, seen and unseen, very creedal in this sense, in the second stanza to the church. And it describes the church, kind of breaks the church down into its, I guess you shall say, its ranks, if we're thinking in military terms. Stanza 2, the band of the apostles in glory sing your praise, the fellowship of prophets their deathless voices raise, the martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. O all majestic Father, your true and only Son, and Holy Spirit Comforter, forever three in one. Okay, this is the church.
This is Article 3 of the Creed. He goes from 1 to 3.
It is a picture. You mentioned before Revelation. You cannot sing this hymn without thinking Revelation chapter 4. Lamb, God upon his throne, 24 elders, all the heavenly hosts, and then invited later in the book, this multitude that no one can number.
Yeah, from all over the living the world, everybody joining together and praising the Lamb. And do you note the wonderful defiance of this thing? You know, you would expect the band of the apostles in glory sang your praise. You know, the fellowship of prophets, their deathless voices raised? No, I mean, it's all present. This is the assembly that Christ has set free from the power of death. They are not dead. Remember Psalm 115. It says, the dead do not praise the Lord. The living praise the Lord now and forevermore. So you see here that to be alive in Christ is to be brought into this great song of praise. The apostles get first place. They are the ones whom Jesus called, chose, named, sent forward, empowered with his word, gave his absolution to, his baptism, his Eucharist, and told them to bring the joy of repentance and forgiveness through his suffering and death to all of the world. But we recognize they didn't come out of nowhere. They stood on the shoulders of the holy prophets who longed to see the day when the Christ would walk the earth. What the apostles experienced, the prophets longed to see and foretold. And so their deathless voices is raised together with it. And then there are the great host of the martyrs, those who would not renounce Christ, but confessed him, even though it meant that their earthly life would be put to an end. This white-robed, great, noble throng, they sing the praises of God. I always think about the line from Saint Irenaeus. He said, the glory of God is a man who is fully alive. And by that, he wasn't talking about someone who, live life to the full in this world. He was talking about a person who was so filled with the life of God that death didn't scare him, and who would confess Christ even unto death. That's the great joy of this stanza.
The song they sing, and then I want to get to stanza three, the song they sing isn't so much a song as simply the name of God.
The name of God. They name the Trinity. That's their song. They have one song, one theme. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, forever three in one. And so they just name the name of God, which is what we do when we come together for worship.
Stanza three of this great Te Deum hymn. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the everlasting Son. Yet you, with boundless love, sought to rescue everyone. You laid aside your glory, were born of virgin's womb, were crucified for us, and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection you won for us reprieve. You opened heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. There's the third stanza. Pastor Whedon, your thoughts there.
From the joys of the Trinity to the very heart of the Blessed Trinity's revelation of love, Christ Jesus. He is the King of glory. As soon as you hear that, the words of Psalm 24 come ringing in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. He is the everlasting Son. Contra what Arius taught, when he said there was when he wasn't. The church says, no, he was before all things, and only through him did anything come into existence that has come into existence. All the joys of John chapter 1, the eternal word of the Father. And he comes to us with this boundless love because he wants to rescue everyone. We need to let those words sink deep into our heart and soul. How many times Scripture is so clear on this? There is not a single listener out there right now for whom he did not come, for whom he did not die, for whom he did not rise again. His desire, the burning desire of his heart, is that we all share in his endless life. That's what he wants for us. He's out to save all.
You mentioned John's Gospel with the, just about a minute before we take our next break. The paraphrase here says, "You laid aside your glory." How should we rightly understand that phrase in light of what John's Gospel tells us?
Yeah, John's Gospel is really clear that the apostle saw his glory. So I mean, when we hear "lay aside his glory," I think the poet was taking a little bit of liberty to say he laid aside the exercise of his glory most of the time, but not all the time. We remember the Mount of Transfiguration, which I think is what John's referring to in chapter 1 when he says, "We saw his glory, glory that can belong to the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Peter also, remember, at the Mount of Transfiguration, he would later write about that. "We were eyewitnesses of the majesty he received on the Holy Mountain."
And John seems to make a point that
that the cross is glory.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The glory shines most of all at the place where it's least visible. When you see the man suffering and dying, which is at the very heart of this stanza. And did you love the way the music took you down into death and the grave with him and then raised you up? Did you catch that mm-hmm. in the way that accompaniment went to that? That was beautiful.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this great Te Deum hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton on this Monday afternoon, September the 20th. The hymn is called, "We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God." We'll also hear the fourth stanza and, in time, the entire hymn.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen, inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Granted by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children on Demand.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Commission on Parenthood's Future recently released a study called My Daddy's Name is Donor. In this study, 485 adult offspring of sperm donors were surveyed. Compared with both adopted children and those raised by biological parents, sperm donor children said they felt more confused and more isolated from their families. They also expressed significant pain over the loss of their father, more than children who were adopted. Perhaps the results of this study will cause our society to question the notion of children on demand, even as we strive to affirm and respect the life of every human, however conceived.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wow, only 25 minutes left. Still so much more to say about this great Te Deum hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton. Pastor Wheaton, I've been telling our listeners about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. Walther's always been a favorite of mine. I mean, mm-hmm. I just think it is the amount of good theology this man did in his short life is astounding. But I was unfamiliar with him as largely as a preacher, and especially how it's been put together in our book, the devotional work. What are your thoughts on God Granted?
I was really shocked when that book came out because I had read a little bit of Walther's sermons, and I had not been all that impressed with them. I thought, he talks a better show than he actually puts on. And then I started reading this book, and it blew me away. I mean, he has a way of dealing out the law that will just decimate you. Day after day, you will live in repentance as you hear this. And when you think there is no hope. There is no. He will pour the sweetest gospel over you, and point you back to your Savior and remind you that your Savior has done everything for you. He has picked you up and transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and filled you with the Holy Spirit and joy. And by the time you're done, it is a daily exercise in repentance and faith. I can only put it that way. It is totally a devotional book that I would hand to anybody, young people, old people, everybody. It's a great one to read to let the Word of God permeate you day by day.
The book is called God Grant It. It's from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call and order God Grant It Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, has a question about using this Te Deum hymn. He says, our congregation celebrates communion every Sunday. As such, we alternate between the five divine service settings in the Lutheran service book. If my memory serves me correctly, the Te Deum is contained only in the order of matins, a service that does not include communion. Liturgically speaking, how would a congregation that celebrates communion every Sunday properly work in this Te Deum?
Great question. Because this particular setting of the Te Deum is a hymn. It works as a hymn. You can use it at any number of spots. Any of the hymn slots would work. It's especially appropriate during the distribution, or especially if you're looking at Divine Service 1, 2, or 4, there's the option of doing a different post-communion hymn than the one printed there. It says use this one or another suitable hymn. This is a very suitable post-communion. After the body and blood of Christ have come into you, the forgiveness of all your sin, the promise of a life that death is never going to be able to take from you, what better to do than to break forth into a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God like this hymn?
So for those congregations that are using the kind of this new standard hymnal of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Service Book, and they celebrate a non-communion Sunday in matins, or celebrating communion every Sunday.
Right.
This can still be substituted.
It sure can. It can even be substituted for the hymn of praise too. I should mention that. We're used to This Is the Feast or the Gloria in Excelsis, but the Te Deum is, in many ways, as you said at the beginning of this program, the hymn of praise of the Church, a glorious hymn.
You mentioned before that traditionally in the Church's use of the Te Deum, this third stanza that we heard before the break was it's set differently. There's even a key change to indicate something going on here. And it just starts to sound like the creed. You notice, you know, we started out asking why Luther would think this is a creed. It starts to follow the actual order of the great creeds of the Church. Talk about that.
It sure does. You notice that the creeds always go from confessing of the Incarnation, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. They skip the entire life of our Lord and go to the cross. Crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered, died, and was buried. Who he is, the eternal Son of God, become human flesh, and the big thing he did, he died on the cross to forgive our sins. He rose from the dead to destroy our death. And so the shape of the Church's creed is just to pull it as concisely as you can down together. And the hymn, this Te Deum, it does the exact same thing a little more poetically than the hymn does. You know, you laid aside your glory. We're born a virgin's womb. We're crucified for us, and we're placed into a tomb. The version we just heard, there was a little pause there. And then, you know, all heaven breaks loose by your resurrection, you won for us reprieve. That's fascinating. I mean, it's obviously chosen to rhyme with the word believe. But, oh, that just gets at the heart of it, that you can breathe again. You can breathe again because the Lord Jesus risen from the dead is going to give you life, a share in his life. And he opens the kingdom of heaven to all who will believe. Here's the sola fide right smack dab in the middle of a creed, if you will, of the Church's great Te Deum.
This reprieve, this idea of reprieve, usually in our parlance today, is only heard when a governor or a state official commutes the sentence of a condemned man.
Yeah, commutes it and gives them. It's like you're on death row, and all of a sudden, word comes down to you: you have been pardoned. You can breathe again.
Now that guy stays in prison for the rest of his life. He doesn't go to the electric chair, but he stays in prison the rest of his life. He won't be killed. But it's better than that for us.
Oh, so much better. St. John Chrysostom said it's not just that he gives us the pardon for all of our sins. It's like that's too little to do for you guys. I've got more I want to do for you. Instead, I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to make you my own sons and daughters. I'm going to bring you into my house. I'm going to make you sit with me and feast with me in my kingdom, and everything that's mine I'm going to give to you. It's a lot more than just pardon. It's pardon and then bringing into this glorious relationship with him.
We give thanks at the end of the Common Communion liturgy for the fact that he has given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. What are those two things?
Yeah, the pardon, the reprieve, but that with the reprieve comes this wonderful relationship with him. Peace, especially when you think of its rich Hebrew connotations, the shalom, where God's sets everything right that's gone crazy and wrong in this world. The sacrament sets it right for us as a promise. You know, we still can't see it set right, but we're believing that in Jesus Christ, in the gift of his body and blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in the gift of God's love that's been given to us there, we have the assurance and promise that everything is going to come out right in the end, according to his plan, his purpose, his dream. You can't sidetrack God. Heaven and earth will be filled with his glory. That is the Christian hope.
The fourth stanza of this hymn, "You sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven by forces you command. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. So help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. May we with saints be numbered where praises never end, in glory everlasting. Amen, O Lord. Amen." I know that you're especially fond of this idea, praises that never end. Your thoughts there?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I think we need to note first that in the third stanza, all of the verbs were running in the past tense, right? They were all what he had done. They're securely anchored for us in historical fact. And now the verbs shift to the present, what our Lord is doing. And this is going to be the thing that's going to lead to this huge explosion of praise. What is our Lord doing now? Well, we confess that you sit in splendid glory enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven by forces you command. That is the faith of the church, that this old world and universe keep on keeping on because the man who was born of a virgin, nailed to a tree and raised from the dead, has been exalted to the right hand of his Father and is now ruling over all things. That's when he tells you the hairs on your head are numbered. It's because he's ruling all things, and he's inviting you into that marvel of that leads to this explosion of praise. And I'm always reminded of the famous words at the end of the martyrdom of St. Polycarp, where he goes through and, you know, the author lists who was this official and who was that official responsible for this and that part of that arrest and martyrdom. And yet he ends it up by saying, but you know, the ruling monarch, the one who had all power, all control, and who was ruling over all things, bringing blessing, was Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's when you see that the Lord, the crucified, the one who loved you so much that he entered into the virgin's womb, nailed to the cross, raised from the dead, he is now governing all things to bring you blessing. You cannot but join in this explosion of praise. And as soon as you do, you realize, I'm not alone. I'm with the whole church.
When we come back, we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts on this Te Deum hymn, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, and we'll hear the entire hymn. Stay tuned.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas, Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona, St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio, Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington, Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Folks, we'll be giving away two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House on the 1st of October. That's Friday. Coming up a little bit later. On the 1st of October, we're going to be choosing the listener who issued the best invitation to his Facebook friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And the other gift certificate goes to the listener who invited the most friends to be a fan of Issues Etc. at Facebook. Now, we need to know that you've invited your friends and how many you invited. So all you need to do is send us an email, special email address, contest@issuesetc.org. Send us a copy of your invitation to your friends and how many you invited. contest@issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We're studying the Te Deum hymn, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. Your final thoughts on this before we head into the listening to the entire hymn. How would you summarize it?
Yeah, I think we want to pick up the thought on in stanza four on the judge. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. And that might lead you to think, uh-oh, he's coming as judge. But it doesn't have that feel in the piece at all.
Sounds like good news.
It sounds like good news. And I think that the word judge here is much more like we have judges in the book of Judges. That is, rescuers sent from God to deliver and save his people. So when we say we know that you will come as our judge that final day, so help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. let us with saints be numbered. You know, so the prayer is very much not a fear of judgment and doomsday. It's very much a cry to the deliverer saying, come, grant us that deliverance, O great judge.
There's this prayer in the old version, grant us to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. Such a simple thing. May I be there. A kind of like, I can't help but think of when the saints go marching in, mm-hmm. I want to be in that number. It's a prayer that the church is always, we as individuals, we together are always praying. What are we asking for when we want to be numbered with the saints?
The church, in the way that she thinks about life, sees that that life is a total tragedy in which there is no praise of God. That life missed the mark. They lived without the greatest joy that there is. And so our prayer that we would not miss that mark in our lives, that we would find the incredible joy that comes from being served by our God in his means of grace, which leads to these lives of praise and thanksgiving and adoration bursting out of us because of all that God has done for us. We pray that we would not miss it. We're praying that others won't miss it too. Nothing is so sad as a life that goes from you know, cradle to grave without having discovered the very purpose and meaning of life itself, to give glory and honor and praise to the Blessed Trinity, to enjoy his presence, to live from his gifts.
Here's the entire hymn. The text is by Pastor Stephen Starkey, the setting of this hymn. We'll hear the entire thing in all of its circumstance and pomp, beautiful setting, by Mark Bender of St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God. Pastor Whedon Scott in Mission Viejo, California says, "For me as a lifer Lutheran raised on the Lutheran hymnal, the Te Deum will always be Henry Loss's setting of the original English translation of the Te Deum. But I absolutely love We Praise You and Acknowledge You. It's one of my top 10 hymns, and it may be one of the ones I choose for my funeral. With about 30 seconds, would you recommend it?"
Oh, I would absolutely recommend it at the funeral. In fact, I'd say whether or not they sing it at your funeral, you'll be singing it at your funeral because you'll be singing it in heaven. I honestly believe it's one of those kind of hymns that will go on forever.
Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois. Thank you so much for coming over this afternoon.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this one, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking with Dr. John Kleinig right here in the studio about pornography. The church has been created to do this, to repeat back to God what God says to us of himself, all of his saving works, the highest praise that we can utter, and we will be uttering it for all eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.